Hi there. Thank you for choosing to listen to this sermon. We pray that God would use this as an added resource to benefit you in conjunction with you belonging to a local church near you. This sermon was preached at Central Baptist Church, Pretoria. 130 years of believers loving God, caring for one another, and impacting the world.
I invite you to turn one last time in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We are in our fourth and last week trying to answer the question, why does the resurrection matter? 1 Corinthians 15, just the first 19 verses. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel that I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, although some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me, whether then it was I or they. So we preach, and so you believe. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied just so far. Pray with me for but a moment. Lord, we have sung in faith, in faith to the God who is not only worthy of our praise, but he also hears our praise. In faith we have sung. In faith, we have sung of this glorious day that we anticipate, that we look forward to. This day when our sin will be no more. Our sinfulness will be no more. This day when these temporary dwellings, that is our flesh, our bodies, they too will be no more. This day when we will behold you in all your glory and be with you forevermore in faith. We have sung of that day and we look forward to that day. But now too, Lord, in faith with our Bibles open, I pray that you would teach us, speak to us, edify us, encourage us, stir faith in our hearts, stir perhaps faith in the heart of the unbeliever, but even in the believer's heart. Stir faith, strengthen even my faith, O Lord. I am weak. My faith is weak. I need you. I need you even in this. I need you. Please, O Lord, may the sum of the next half an hour be more than just Daniel. O Lord, if Daniel is forgotten, so be it. But may your people hear your voice. Please, O Lord, in your name do I pray, and to your glory do I pray. Amen. Why does the resurrection matter? Why does it matter? These people that Paul is addressing in 1 Corinthians 15, they had come to be of the opinion that the resurrection did not matter. Didn't matter. Paul addresses, I'm reminding you, a group of people within the Corinthian church who at some or other point had responded positively to the gospel. Verse 11, so we preach, so you believed. I have a slide up there. It's coming, it's coming, it's coming. The birth, the life, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The gospel in fulfillment of Scripture, our salvation in Christ, so we preach. Paul and the apostles, so they preached as witnesses to the person of Christ, to the gospel of Christ. So we preach in the year 2025 with the use of the Scriptures, the gospel of Christ. So we preach, so they responded in their time, and so they believed. And yet, subsequent to that initial believing, some time has now passed, and it seems that this group has been talking amongst themselves. And as they were talking amongst themselves, they've concluded that, okay, we are Christians. We like some of this Christian stuff. It sounds good. I want to live my life according to this Christian stuff. But this other stuff about heaven, this other stuff about eternal life, surely it can't be true. We've seen people die. We've seen their bodies begin to decompose. We smelt the stench of that decomposition in our nostrils. Surely it can't be true that the person who existed in that body of flesh will now be resurrected. So I like that other stuff about Jesus. Sure, I'm a sinner. I've made mistakes in life. I acknowledge that. I'm not perfect. And if you tell me that Jesus takes care of my sin, that sounds great. But I don't think there's anything after death. That's their conclusion. There is no resurrection from the dead, according to this group of people in the Corinthian church. See, some people treat being a Christian like a diet, or the way Daniel treats a diet, at least. I'll eat what I like to eat. I can see how I'm better off not murdering anyone. I may even eat what I find tolerable to eat. I see the benefit of not committing adultery. But I just can't swallow the stuff about eternal life. I just can't swallow the stuff about heaven or hell. So let me just make up my own diet. Let me make up my own diet. My life, my truth, whatever tickles my fancy. Well, if you don't believe in the resurrection of the dead, Paul challenges them, if you don't believe in the resurrection of the dead, generally speaking, then you cannot believe in the resurrection of the dead, specifically speaking in the person of Jesus. And then what happens if you remove the resurrection of Jesus? Next slide. What happens? If there is no resurrection, what happens? We've considered already in the previous weeks, all preaching and all response to preaching, all gospel ministry is vain. It is in vain. Faith itself, the Christian life lived by faith, it is futile. We are, in fact, we looked at this last week, we are still in our sins if there is no resurrection. And then lastly, our focus for tonight, verse 18 and 19. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ, they have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. Let's follow Paul down this negative thought. If we dismiss this notion of the resurrection, then two things are true. Firstly, the dead are dead. The dead are dead. Their Christianity was limited to this life because there's nothing after death. And so whether they were Christian or not, it doesn't affect their eternal prospects because they had no eternal prospects. It matters very little for you. Think of it. Paul calls these Corinthian Christians to think about it. And matters very little, even for the fellow believers who have already died. If we take out the resurrection, we lose hope for ourselves, but also for others. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then those who have died in Christ, they have died full stop. And nothing happens after that full stop. In other words, the fact that they were in Christ, it meant absolutely nothing when they breathed their last breath. And if it meant nothing, what is the point? I'd encourage you, start going to funerals. Start going to funerals or memorial services. You know, before working for the church, in the entirety of my life, I'd probably been to two or three. We tend to prefer to avoid that stuff. We don't like to think about death. I'm telling you, go as often as you can. And when you go, listen carefully. Listen carefully to what it sounds like when a family grieves with no hope. Learn that sound. Hear what it sounds like when a family grieves with no hope. And then listen also to what it sounds like when a family grieves with hope. Learn that sound, learn that sight. Now, both of those things can be tearful, noisy affairs even. But I'm telling you, and I've seen it, there is hope in the eye of the believer. There is hope in the eye of those who grieve with hope. Sometimes it's a reluctant hope. God, why did you take my beloved? God, why did you take my child? God, why? Why? But because they were sinners saved by grace, I still have hope. Maybe I don't understand the why in the present, but I have hope. I have hope that I will see them again because they were in Christ. And so the Christian mourns and grieves with hope. But if Jesus did not rise from the dead, that is empty. It's just another lie that we tell ourselves just to help us cope with difficult circumstances, and actually it changes nothing if Jesus did not rise from the dead. Even better, than going to a funeral. Next time you drive by a cemetery, stop. Walk through that cemetery and just admire for a moment, admire the great equalizer that we all shall face, death, death, death. And while you admire death's handiwork, the young, the old, the white, the black, the poor, the rich, those who managed to run the comrades' marathon, and those who are couch potatoes their entire lives. And all in between, all shall face death. And as you admire the handiwork of death, ask yourself this: do you have hope? Do you have hope? For yourself, for those who you love who are in Christ, do you have hope? Or is that our end? Is that our end? Just to be eaten up by worms? Is that it? If that is the end of believers, how much more unbelievers? And so what's the point? What's the point? And I know this is some of our context. What's the point of going home to unbelieving families? Many of you, as Christians, you carry this tension in your hearts and your minds. That which the Bible tells me about sin and the gospel and Jesus and the resurrection and heaven and hell. And you know in your heart of hearts, if you apply that to your friends and your families, they are not going where you are going. They are sinners on their way to hell rather than sinners saved by grace. But if there's no resurrection, why bother? Why bother? Why carry that tension in your hearts? Why stay up late in anguish, in prayer, Lord, please save them? What's the point of that if there is no resurrection? Why go home and plead with your friends and families for their souls if Jesus didn't rise from the dead? If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, remember last week, we are still in our sins. And remember also, the wages of sin is death. And so logically, because all have sinned, if you remove the free gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, because all of us have sinned, the wage is required and we must pay it. And so death must be death. And the dead must be dead. If there is no resurrection, then Jesus did not rise from the dead. And if Jesus did not rise from the dead, then we have nothing as Christians to look forward to beyond the grave. Death is death, and the dead are dead. Secondly, our lives are pitiful. Our lives are pitiful. It's a bad joke. Our Christianity, it is wasted because we have taken the gospel of Jesus Christ and we have limited it to things of lesser worth. It's like winning the lottery and you take that money and you go and buy chappies. We are offered the prospect of heaven, but we prefer the prospects of the world. And so we might go around talking about hope, hope, hope. But if that hope is limited to just this life, a better life here on earth, a better house, better friends, better money, better job, better car, better government, better economy, if you just keep on hoping and hoping, but all your hope is here on earth, hoping just for your brief little existence to be a little bit better, if that is you or me, and we do that in the name of Christianity, then we are of all people most to be pitied. You're putting all this effort into being a Christian. You're trying to live a moral life. You give to the poor. You love your enemies. You try and forgive. You love justice. And you do good things in society. And you try and stir this up in others. You're a good example. You're a good citizen of the country. That's great. But if you don't believe there's anything after death, what is the point? What's the point? That's what Paul is asking. Why live out the Christian life if you don't believe that the outcome of that Christian life is eternal life in heaven? Why believe in half a gospel? It's like going to the gym and exercising, and you exert yourself till you drop, and you do that week after week after week, but you expect no change. You want no change. In fact, you don't believe in change. What's the point? Why suffer? Why are you punishing yourself with being a Christian if there is no eternal life? You never taste that juicy piece of bacon. You never lick your fingers after some dunked wings from KFC. You don't know that the sweetness of a Krispy Kreme donut. But you deny yourself all of those things just for the sake of it. Just for vibes. Just because you prefer this lifestyle to this lifestyle, but you have no hope of eternal life. It's sad. It's a little bit pathetic. It is pitiable. It is pitiful. It achieves nothing if Jesus did not rise from the dead. Why bother with this Christian thing at all if Jesus did not rise from the dead? Why be a Christian at all? You might as well just go and give life your best. try leave a good legacy. Make your mark, my dear sir. Make your mark, madam. Make your mark. Sweat it out the entirety of your life, 9 to 5. Earn your keep. Invest in your stocks. Buy your crypto. Get a nice car. Get a house. Put your children through the best schools, the best universities. Go on holiday. Spend time with your friends and family. Play a bit of sports. Scratch your itches. Get a hobby or two. And then die. Die. Die, for that is all there is. Why not just give life your best? Or why not give it your worst? Go out, get drunk, satisfy every urge, tickle every sinful desire, and then when you've had your full, take some pills or just jump off a cliff. Or be eaten up by some incurable disease. Or maybe close your old wrinkled eyes one day, just never to wake in the morning. Just die. Die, 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 for that is all there is. Die and become worm fodder. If Jesus did not die for our sins and rise again on the third day, it is pointless. You might as well just die. If you do not believe, there is no point. Why bother? All those things, they lose their meaning, they lose their purpose, we lose hope. We are of all people, most to be pitied. Pitied. We think we are doing something. We think we are standing for something. We think we are a force of good, but it really just adds up to another miserable existence. Here today, gone tomorrow, if Jesus did not rise from the dead, and if there is no resurrection, that's what we're left with. But, Christian, you believe, right? You believe? And so, because we believe and because we know the resurrection is true, death is not death. Death in Christ is just a doorway to glory because we believe. And so, I know death is coming. One of us is going to go first. Whether it's tomorrow or in 50 years' time, if you go first, my brother, my sister in Christ, if you go first, I will miss you. I will acknowledge your absence, maybe if you're lucky, a tear, maybe if you're luckier, two tears. I will grieve your loss, but because I believe that Jesus rose from the dead, and because I believe our end is not worms, but it is everlasting life with Christ, so I will have hope. I will have hope when grieving you, because death in Christ is but the exchanging of our fleshly sinful dwelling for an eternal, glorious, joyous union with Christ. What a joy. I long for that day. I hope you do too. Death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Christian, you believe, right? And because you believe, we know the resurrection is true. And so our Christian lives are not pathetic and pitiful. And the sum of our Christian lives, it's not this bad joke, where the Christian just puts on their best impersonation of Jesus and then they reach for the stars but then get eaten by worms. And it's exactly the same as their gay atheist neighbor. There's no difference. All of us just eaten by worms. Our lives are not these words that we've been using the last few weeks. Vain, futile, empty, meaningless. No. Why not? Because we know the resurrection is true. And it comes together. It comes together. When we heard the gospel, when that penny finally dropped in our hearts, we are sinners who need a Savior. And when our eyes were open, Jesus was born. Jesus who lived, Jesus who died for our sins, Jesus was buried, Jesus who rose again from the dead. All of this according to the scriptures, He is that Savior that we need. The debt payment for my sins and the death of my sin, it is tied to His death. My life now as a Christian, my life evermore, it is tied to His life. And so in Christ, we don't hear this in vain. In Christ, we don't believe this in vain. In Christ, our lives is our faith is not futile. We don't run mindlessly. We don't fight sin just because we are bored. And the hope that we have in Christ, it's not a lie that we tell ourselves just to make life easier to cope with. No, it is not a lie. It is true. We reach in faith. In faith, we are assured of this hope. In faith, we have these convictions of things not yet seen. the Christ who died for my sins, the Christ who rose again, the Christ whose spirit dwells in me. He is no myth. He is no legend. He is no fairy tale. He is real. He is true. And in faith, I am assured of seeing him face to face and dwelling with him forevermore. What a glorious day that will be. Why? Why does the resurrection matter? I just put it in a phrase. Because the gospel is true. And the entirety of our faith, it is lived in anticipation of the life to come. Because Jesus lived and he died on the cross for my sins. And then he rose again on the third day. Therefore, we live with the prospect of eternal glory. We live with the prospect of meeting our Savior face to face. We live with the prospect of an eternity. And not an eternity of resting in peace, not an eternity of nothingness, but an eternity filled with joy and love and glory and no more tears, no more sins, no more struggle, eternity. Eternity. I'll close with this. In a few moments, a couple of people are going to be baptized. They're not signing up for gym. They're not trying out a new diet. Just trying it out for a couple of weeks or months or years, for however long it's convenient or for however long they feel like it. No. They are putting their hands up and they are saying, I believe. I believe. They're not putting their hands up to say, I believe in the Jesus who just died, but he never rose again. And they're not putting their hand up to say, I believe in the Jesus who's just going to give me my best life, and then I'm going to die and be eaten by worms. No. The Jesus who lived. The Jesus who died. The Jesus in his death where my sins are forgiven, not based off of merit, but based off of the finished work of the risen Savior. The finished work of the risen Savior. And all my life, really, I was tempted to put a couple of verses in here. It would have gone on way too longer. But the Bible points us to eternal life. There's no form of Christianity that you can live out legitimately that makes less of eternal life. There's no form of Christianity that you can live out legitimately that does not believe in the resurrection. That is why the resurrection matters. Let us pray. Lord, not by my many words, not by the multitude of my words, not by my eloquence or lack thereof, but by the truth of your word and by your spirit at work, not only in my heart, but in all the hearts present. May it be that your people have heard the voice of their God. Please, O Lord, for your name's sake and for your glory's sake do I pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the sermon. Find out more about Central Baptist Church at www.central.org.za.